The government insists that this is just a conspiracy from outside and the groups of terrorists, mostly foreigners, and that the government is doing their duty, protecting the country and the people. Whereas the opposition says, no, this is a popular uprising against a dictatorship that has overstayed its welcome. So two parties are not talking to one another, they are talking past one another. So this is the main difficulty. Kofi Annan, I think, has done a splendid job with the Geneva Agreement. The thing is, it has been interpreted in different ways by the people who have signed it, and in particular the five permanent members of the Security Council. So what I have been trying to do is to see if the P5, starting with Russia and the United States, could come to an agreement and to a common understanding of what Geneva meant, so that we can then take it as an international agreement, resolution of Security Council or something like that, to be implemented through negotiations between the two parties.
You have said repeatedly there is no military solution to the conflict. How do you respond to critics who say negotiations like yours are bound to fail?
You could say they are right. Until now, our efforts at starting negotiations have not been very successful. But the military campaigns have not been successful either in finishing the conflict. As a matter of fact, the conflict is expanding and the damages inflicted on the people and on the country are growing. So if we had a chance of starting a negotiation, I think nobody says it's going to be easy, but perhaps negotiating is better than killing one another.
If Syria does continue along its current path, what would be the consequences for the country, the region, and beyond?
I think it is, you know, the premises of what the country and the region are going to look like are already there. The country is being destroyed, the infrastructure, the culture, the cities, the countryside. I think that the economy of Syria is in shambles. Syria is a country where there was no poor. Yeah, of course, there are poor. I don't think that people used to go hungry in Syria. And now you have 25% of the population who need help. So this is what is happening to the country. And I think I have said several times that the country is not going to be divided into smaller states. It's going to be broken into kind of warlords here and there and a failed state. And if you have a failed state, the countries around it are going to be affected extremely seriously. They already are affected. There are very serious tensions in Lebanon. There are problems in Iraq, maybe in Turkey as well. Jordan is extremely nervous and preoccupied by what the Syrian conflict can do to them. I mean, consequences are not going to stop at the borders of this conflict. The Palestinians, you have about 500,000 Palestinian refugees, they are already feeling the shock or the counter-shock of what is happening in the country.
What exactly do you want the Security Council to do, and can it be enough to stop the conflict?
I think what I want them to do is first to speak in one voice, and I think the word they use themselves is how to make the Geneva Agreement operational. And I think they can do that if they speak in one voice.
The UN and Arab League Secretary Generals recently expressed their continued confidence in your efforts. What are your next steps? Will you be going back to Syria anytime soon?
I don't know yet. I don't think I will go to Syria unless there is something specific to do. We have a very, very good team in Syria that is doing everything that needs to be done. If I go to Syria, it's because there is something that I need to do that I can do.
Syria opposition chief says he's ready for talks with the regime. You have a reaction, a comment to that?
Yes, I've seen that, but I think he has a number of conditions. Two of the most important conditions is that, first, all the political prisoners, and he says that there are something like 160,000, should be first freed. The second thing is that the meeting he's proposing is to take place outside of Syria. He's proposing, I think, Istanbul, Cairo, or Tunis. But I think it is worthy of note. Let's see how the government is going to respond. And let's see also how the colleagues of Mr. Ahmed Mu'adh Khatib are going to react.